we want to make it so unattractive to do the type of work that they do that they'll go somewhere else and do something else.
You can't fight markets. When a market reaches a certain size, you can't fight it.
The San Diego Tunnel Task Force is a special multi-agency team composed of agents from Homeland Security, Border Patrol, and the Drug Enforcement Administration. And what they do is pretty much in the name.
Investigations to detect and discover tunnels, but also to actually conduct investigations into the people that are actually behind the tunnels.
The task force has discovered almost 200 tunnels under the border since 1990. Little tunnels like this and huge tunnels like this.
Why is the tunnel so attractive? Well, we estimate that the cost to build a tunnel is in the vicinity of $1 million, possibly to $2 million. They recoup that moreover in just one day if they're successful.
Smugglers have been using tunnels along the U.S.-Mexico border since the Prohibition era. There are tunnels out in Mexicali, in the eastern California border region that date back probably close to 100 years that were developed precisely to move alcohol across the border. Today it's not very different. One of the best ways to avoid law enforcement is to go underground, literally.
David Shirk is the director of the Justice in Mexico Project at the University of San Diego, and his research contributed to this recent government report finding California's border to be as leaky as ever. But he takes issue with the report's conclusion that the solution is simply more funding for enforcement agencies.
I have no doubt that authorities are able to do more when they have more resources. The question is, can they do enough? The one constant in the last 40 years of the war on drugs is that where there is a willing buyer, there's a willing supplier. For every new mile of fencing that we put up, for every extra 1,000 or 10,000 Border Patrol agents that we throw into the area, there's always some trafficker or some organization out there who is figuring out how to maneuver around those obstacles. This is probably attributable to changes in smuggling patterns and changes in organized crime in Mexico.
Garcia and his team have spent decades searching for border tunnels. But every time they fill one up, a new, better tunnel emerges.
All the way back to TJ, into Mexico.
As the Sinaloa cartel has moved in to Baja California, their organization has been credited or blamed with the construction of some super tunnels. I mean, very long, very deep, professionally constructed tunnels.
We were essentially playing whack-a-mole. Hit it here and then another tunnel would pop up and you'd hit it there. It was a decided approach by all the partners to do a long-term investigation and try to go after those people responsible.
This reflects a broader shift in the government's overall strategy in the war on drugs: to take down kingpins and dismantle the cartels. They recently took down the notorious El Chapo Guzman of the Sinaloa cartel, who happened to have an elaborate series of escape tunnels underneath his home. But Shirk says the strategy comes with its own pitfalls.
It was when the government decided to take on drug traffickers that the drug war became a literal war. And we've seen an enormous amount of bloodshed in Mexico precisely because of internal splits of these organizations, competition from other organizations that has been a direct result of government efforts to take out top leadership.
How does the arrest of someone like Chapo Guzman affect how we do business? It changes things in the sense that there's a kingpin that's no longer there, but we're not so naive to think that there isn't other people there that can step right in.
Chapo Guzman was really one of a number of different leaders of that organization that have held it together. We've only taken out part of the leadership. It's like we've taken away one of the eyes, but the other eye is still there. And so it's not a full decapitation of the organization. It's not even a lobotomy. They're trying to enforce a law that is difficult, if not impossible, to enforce because it doesn't have buy-in from a very significant portion of our population.
I think it's kind of like the little boy at the sticking his thumb into the, you know, the leaking dike or the dam. At what point do you just give up? I don't think that anybody that is truly embracing law enforcement as a career ever wants to give up.
Garcia may think of himself as the boy with his finger in the dike, patching a leak until backup arrives with a more permanent fix to avert a flood. But there's another way to think about America's 40-year drug war. A tiny tunnel appears. You fill it. Then you see a bigger one. So you hire more people to fill the bigger hole. Of course, there's eventually an even bigger tunnel with ventilation. Professionals dug this tunnel. So you need a special team to keep up with these professionals on the other side. And now it's just you and the professionals. You both know what you're doing. You both get a little better every time. The tunnels are getting bigger and better, but at least you're finding them. You are finding all of them, right?
We want to make it so unattractive to do the type of work that they do that they'll go somewhere else and do something else. We know that's a long, hard road, and we may never be successful in our lifetimes, but we have to continue to lay that foundation down.